Father, I pray once more that this group of people, this part of the family, would truly hear your heart, and that we might have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. Father, you're the only one who knows what each of us needs to hear. And you're the only one that can whisper in each of our ears those things that are applicable and helpful and needful. And I pray, Lord, that each man and every woman that's sitting here right now, every teenager and boy and girl that's in this place, would experience your grace and sense your presence and know your heart to a greater degree. Lord, bless each and every student, each and every disciple, each and every person that's a part of your family. And if there be those that are not yet part of your family, Lord, may tonight be the night when they open up their heart and receive your Son and are born again. So, Lord, for each person, may a blessing be bestowed and great grace given. And cause us, Lord, to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning at verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, or on the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee on the way and smote the hindmost of thee, all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary. And he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Again, verse 17, remember what Amalek did unto thee on the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee on the way and smote the hindmost of thee, all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. It was C.S. Lewis, that great Christian thinker, that prolific author, that Oxford professor, that said, quote, the primary task of teaching is not so much to reveal as it is to remind. That's true. The primary task of teaching is not so much to reveal as it is to remind. For the old adage is true, that repetition is the mother of learning. If we are going to learn and be taught, we've got to hear things time and again. The Apostle Peter knew that. In his last letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, he talked about the fact that he knew that his time of departure was at hand, that he would soon be ending his life on earth and moving into eternity. And so he said, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, until you be established in them. Peter said, hey, I'm not giving you something new, not revealing something new, but reminding you of what I already gave to you. Now, that's what a good teacher does. C.S. Lewis was right, and Peter would agree. And Moses became himself, the author of Deuteronomy, a master communicator, an excellent teacher. At first, when he was called, he was reluctant to take the task because he said, I am not eloquent, I am slow of speech, I stutter. But as the years went by, Moses became a very impacting, effective communicator. And here in Deuteronomy, we see him at the height of his game, if you would. That is, the book of Deuteronomy is one long sermon. It's his farewell address. It's his final oration. He knows that his life is about through, and the people are going to cross over the Jordan River into the land of promise without him. And so he gathers them together, and he gives this sermon to them, Deuteronomy. Now, there is not a lot of new material in Deuteronomy. It's repeating and reiterating the things the Lord had already taught them, reminding the people of what the Lord had already done for them, and refreshing the people in what the Lord now expects of them. So in Deuteronomy, keep this in mind, it's Moses repeating or reiterating or reviewing what the Lord has already taught and what the Lord has already done. Now, in our section this evening, notice again, Moses starts in verse 17 with the word remember. He's reminding them. And then it ends in verse 19, the last phrase, don't forget this. Remember and don't forget. Remember and don't forget. Remember and don't forget what? How? When you, he said to the congregation of Israel that day, left Egypt and you made your way toward the land of promise, how Amalek, that is the descendants of Amalek, the Amalekites, came out and attacked you while you were on the way. The Amalekites, descendants of Esau, they were the perpetual enemies of the Israelites. And the Amalekites didn't fight fair. They played dirty. That is, Moses says, remember what they did, how they attacked you and smote the hindmost, verse 18. Not man to man, not face to face, but rather they used guerrilla tactics. And they would wait till you passed by. Then they would come out from behind the rocks and they would ambush those that were at the back of the pack. Those that were weary and feeble, those were the ones that they attacked and they picked off like guerrilla soldiers. Moses says, remember that fact and don't forget it. And when you get to the promised land and you're settled in there, then take on the Amalekites and blot out their name from even the remembrance of this nation, of this land, of this region. Interesting, because you see, Amalek represents what you and I go through presently. That is, we have an adversary. Be sober, Peter said. Be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, Satan, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Life, A.W. Tozer said, that crusty classical preacher from last generation, life is not a playground, it's a battleground. It's true. There are battles all around me and battles all around you. In fact, it's a jungle out there, quite frankly. And in the jungle, we have an adversary, the roaring lion. It is said that in the jungle, the lion wakes up each day and knows that he has to simply run faster than the slowest prey. Let's say there's gazelles out there. The lion wakes up and says, what I need to do is run faster than the slowest gazelle, and I'll have that gazelle for lunch or for dinner, you see. Now the gazelle wakes up, and he knows that he too has a task. He has to run faster than the fastest lion, or he's gonna be lunch, or he's gonna be dinner. Either way, lion or gazelle, you gotta wake up and you gotta start your day running, or you'll starve if you're the lion, or you'll be dinner if you're the gazelle. But it's a jungle, and you got to keep moving. Now, in reality, the Bible teaches you and me the same thing. It's a jungle out there. There's a roaring lion that wants to not prey for you, but prey on you. He has a plan, and here's his plan. Remember this and don't forget it. He is Amalek. That is, the enemy always attacks the back of the pack. That's what he does. He doesn't play fair. He fights dirty. And he attacks those that are at the back of the pack, those that are weary, those that are feeble. That's the plan. That's the stratagem of the enemy. Moses says, remember, and he says, don't forget this. What Amalek did, he attacked the back of the pack. Hey, it's a word that I need to remember and that we need to be reminded of constantly, because you see, we can grow, quite frankly, weary. We can say, you know what? I've been walking with the Lord for a lot of years. I've been involved in the war for a lot of years. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit pooped, fatigued, weary. I need a break today. I need to kick back a bit. I need to cruise a while. Watch out. Be careful. Because when you think that you need to take a break and deserve a break, get ready. When you think, I deserve that Big Mac, for a brutal attack. I know we can say, I deserve a break. I've been in the wars. I've been in the battle. But hey, remember that when you kick back, that's when you're really going to be in trouble. The worst place to be is in the back of the pack. The safest place to be is front and center, fully involved, totally engaged. That's the safest place that you can be spiritually. When you take some R&R and cruise, that's when Amalek attacks the back of the pack. He knows. He was a great man, a godly guy. He had been fighting wars since he was a young boy. And when he was 50 years of age, he said, you know what? I've battled long enough. We are told there in the scriptures, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, that the time was at hand when the kings went out to battle. Now, in those days, in Bible times, you need to know this, that there were seasons that were set aside for battling, spring and summer. It was too rainy in the winter. Wheels would get stuck in the mud, the chariots that were taken to battle, and it was too hard to move troops logistically. So they had war season from spring to the middle of summer. We have baseball, football, basketball season. They had war season. It was spring to summer. And year after year, hey, he had led the troops into battle. He was their commander. He was their king. But when he was 50, he said, you know what? I'm going to just kind of take some R&R and kick back a bit. And he sent another to lead the troops that season. Joab was the other's name. And Joab led the soldiers to go fight the enemies of Israel, while the king, who was 50 and feeling weary, David, stayed behind. He had the city pretty much to himself. He was on the palace roof one night, having some Diet Coke and eating some chalupas, when he was just enjoying the golden view of that golden city. And his eye, though, came across a Sheba that was taking a bath. You know the story, Bathsheba. He saw her, looked on her, was intrigued by her. Oh, David, you should have been on the front lines leading the troops like you used to do. But now you kicked back. You were weary. And so watch what happens to King David, sadly. He calls for her. He has an affair with her and tries to cover up the illegitimate child that was birthed through that affair by murdering the husband. It's a sordid story. Most of you know. David was 50 when that happened. He wasn't 25 or 32. He was 50. And he was weary, or so he thought. He should have been fully engaged. He should have been front and center. But he thought, I deserve a break. I've worked hard. I deserve to kick back a bit. And he fell into sin and into murder. For the next 20 years, it was never the same for David, nor his family, nor his kingdom. He was a godly man, a man after God's own heart. But he blew it badly. That can happen to you. It can happen to me. Hey, we say, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years, like these guys had their 40-year journey in our story. And quite frankly, I'm ready to let somebody else kind of assume front and center. Let somebody else be there. It's time for me and my wife, we might say, to just kind of kick back and, hey, we're getting a bit older. And who says that we have to have the devotions and go to the meetings? Who's to say? Why not let somebody else teach the Sunday school? Somebody else work in the nursery? Somebody else go to the men's prayer meetings or the Bible studies or the women's intercession group? Somebody else. I'm weary, quite frankly. I'm tired. I'll just kick back a bit. Careful. It's a dumb thing to do. Listen to me. Right now in this community, we are going through a rash of men who are around 50 falling into immorality. It's absolutely astonishing to me the number of people that have been sucked into sin right now at that point in life. And we're talking to the sisters, to the wives, and we're beginning to see a story, a similarity. And it's rather sad and heartbreaking, really. And that is this. Men that would say, I'm a bit weary. I need some downtime. I need to get away, to pull back. Men that would say to their wives, honey, you know what? Let's not go to church Sunday. Let's cruise out to Indian Mary and see the turning of the leaves. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Now, wives, usually, well, they're flattered by that. You want to spend special time with me? Okay, let's do that. And the next Sunday comes, hey, let's go for brunch in Ashland, see? We've been going to church for years and walking with the Lord for a long time. We can just kind of, hey, take a break. And so breaks are taken. And they slowly but surely drift to the back of the pack. And then we talk to the wives with tears rolling down their cheeks and going through box after box of tissue. What happened? What happened, they say. And in reality, very frequently, it's the same exact story. Going to the back of the pack because I'm 50, I'm weary, I've paid my dues, I've been there and done that. Be careful. A great man, a godly man, David, was taken out, was taken down, because he went to the back of the pack when he was 50. The best thing you could say, wife, to your husband is, oh, thank you. Let's do go see the turning of the leaves at Indian Mary right after we get through church. We'll go to church first. We'll go to early service or whatever, or late service or whatever it might be. And then we'll go to that brunch or we'll go see the leaves turn or whatever you want to do, honey. That's wonderful. But be oh so careful that you don't grow weary at age 50, somewhere in middle life, and say, you know, I've fought the fight. I've warred a lot. Now it's time for me to cruise and sail. You're gonna get eaten up. When you think that you deserve a break today, a Big Mac, watch out. That's when you're gonna get attacked. Amalek attacks the back of the pack when a person's weary or when a person's feeble. He was 30 approximately and he felt feeble. Oh, before he had been so strong. When his Lord said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And when his Lord said, that's going to happen tonight. Oh, no, said that big lovable fisherman, Peter. No, others might run, but not me. You can count on me to be by your side. You can count on me. My name is Peter. Rock. Solid. I'm going to be the first pope, Jesus. Hey, you can count on me to be there. He was strong. But then, hours later, the soldiers came to the Garden of Gethsemane. They tied Jesus' wrists. They led him away to a trial that would ultimately lead to his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary that day. And Peter did do what he said he wouldn't do. He ran just like the others. And then, feeling feeble, He began to do something. He began, Luke's gospel tells us in Luke chapter 22, he began as Jesus was led away by the guards that day. He, Peter, began to follow Jesus. And Luke says he followed Jesus afar off. He was still following Jesus, but no longer right there at his side, no longer front and center. But now there was a distance, and he was following Jesus still, but he followed Jesus afar off, Luke's gospel tells us. You know the story. They took Jesus into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, where he was being tried. And while Jesus was inside, Peter, following him afar off, made his way to the outer courtyard where the enemies of Jesus had gathered. The enemies of Jesus lit fires that night to take the chill away. And Peter was chilled, not only outwardly, but his soul was chilled. He knew that he was not where he said he would be, where he was supposed to be, where he used to be, close to his Lord. He was following him, but afar off. He stood there by the fires of the enemy. We know you. You're one of the... No, I'm not. Hey, somebody else said, aren't you with Jesus? Uh-uh. A third person, your speech, though, it betrays you. You're a Galilean. You're one of his. And it says that he swore. It doesn't mean that he just used profanity. He took an oath, the Greek indicates in the language of the Bible. My soul be damned to hell if I know that man, Jesus, is what he was saying. And right when he said that, Jesus was brought out of Caiaphas's house and came out to the courtyard where Peter was standing at the fires of the enemy. And Jesus looked at Peter lovingly. And it broke Peter's heart. And it says he went out and wept bitterly. Listen, when you feel feeble, be careful that you don't say, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of, I don't know, I'm not what I should be or not what I used to be, so I'm going to follow Jesus afar off. When you follow him afar off, what happens is there's a chill in your soul and you go to the fires of the enemy to warm up and you end up getting burned. To the internet, it's late at night and there's a chill in your soul and you begin to visit websites that you know you ought not to be looking at or going to. And something happens. You're warming yourself by the fires of the enemy to take away the chill by some kind of thrill. But instead you get burned badly. Or you go to Tinseltown and sit there and hope that that's going to somehow warm your soul today, but it doesn't. You find yourself weeping bitterly. You find yourself crying sorrowfully. How could this be, Peter? How could this be, David? Two giants. And yet, Peter followed Jesus afar off. He went to the back of the pack and he got attacked. David, he went to the back of the pack. I'm going to stay in the city and let others be in the front lines for a while. And that's when the enemy ripped on him. That's when Amalek attacked. The enemy always attacks the back of the pack. It's true. We can feel, you know what? I'm getting older, we might say. And it's just not as easy as it used to be. And so, you know, I try to have devotions, spiritual time with the Lord, but my eyes don't work as well. And so, you know, the Bible that used to be there on the bedstand that we used to read at night, falling asleep, having our mind renewed and our faith built up, and then get up in the morning and have devotions too. Well, it's just, well, it's still there, but we begin to put books on top of it, like the Reader's Digest condensed book thing or Time magazine. And the pile gets higher and higher. The Bible's still there until one day we say, you know, I think I'll just, it's going to tip over this pile, so I'll put the Bible on the shelf. And then pretty soon it just sits there. And we say, yeah, but I've read it through a number of times. I've studied it for a lot of years. Careful. Careful what you have on your bedstand. Hey, this was on the wire services this morning. Ken Charles Barger, 47, accidentally shot himself to death in Newton, North Carolina, when awakening to the sound of a telephone ringing beside his bed, he reached for the phone, but grabbed instead a Smith & Wesson 38 Special, which discharged when he drew it to his ear. Now here's a guy that has on his bedstand a Smith & Wesson 38. The phone rings. Hello? See, hey, listen. He doesn't need a Smith & Wesson loaded by his bed. He needs the two-edged sword, you see, the scriptures. It'll blow your mind in a much better way, believe you me. It'll renew my mind. It'll strengthen my faith. But what happens when you're 50, when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 40? You begin to say, I don't need to have devotions like I used to when I was 20 or 30. I can just pull away. I can kick back a bit, you see. I'm weary. I'm fatigued. I'm feeble. Hey, and you drift to the back of the pack. And that's the day when the enemy attacks. And that's when you're taken out. And that's when you're wiped out. And that's when you say, what happened? Amalek always attacks those that are weary and feeble, who drifted towards the back of the pack. And I'm seeing it, and so are you. We're aware of it. We have the same vulnerability, all of us, to go back and say, hey, I don't need to have devotions and seek the Lord. I'm 50. Or, I'm just so feeble and so weak anyway, like Peter. Hey, why bother? I'll just follow Jesus when I can, from afar. That's good enough. No, it's not. The enemy attacks the back of the pack. Well, you say, then what are we supposed to do when you're weary, when you're faint? You don't go to the back. You come up to the front. You become more engaged than ever, more involved than you ever were before in your spiritual walk, in your devotional life, in your service or ministry, in your Bible study, whatever it might be. Why? Listen to what Isaiah chapter 40 says to you, says to me. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, we think wrongly, I'm weary, I'm faint, I'll just take a break today. I'll kick back, I'll relax. Hey, that's when we get wiped out. We're to wait on the Lord. We're to be with the Lord. We're to come to the Lord. Come to me, Jesus said, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Get in the saddle. Yoke up with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my burden is easy. My load is light. It's exactly the opposite of what your mind is telling you, of what Amalek is trying to seduce you to do. You don't go back. You don't drift away. You don't say, well, I'm 40 now, or I'm 50, or whatever it might be. Hey, you say, more than ever, I need to be front and center, fully engaged, or I'm going to be under attack, and it's going to be brutal on me, on my wife, on my family, my children, my grandkids. I can't afford that. It's time to be front and center, you see. Well, some people say, I try that, John, but you know, I try to have devotions, or I try to go to that study or come to church, but quite frankly, at this point in my life, I find it very dry. I find that the body just seems to be dead, the body of Christ. It bores me. It doesn't interest me. I find it to be rather dead, quite frankly. So I don't go. Oh, I'll go when I can, when it's convenient, when I'm in town or around. But you know, don't ask me to be front and center, fully involved, totally engaged. No, John, I'm 50 now. I'm at that time in life when I can take it easy a bit. Or I'm 35 and I'm in the middle of my career, and hey, Listen, let somebody else be front and center. Not me. The body's dead anyway. People are dead. It's not like it used to be back in 1963 or whatever. The body's dead. The body was dead as far as those three were concerned that day. But they got up anyway. It was early Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning. And they went to the body of Christ. Literally. The body was dead, or so they thought. When they made their way to the tomb where the dead body lay, the dead body of Christ, they were amazed. They were totally in ecstasy, elated. They were shocked. They were surprised by joy when they found, because they made their way to the body of Christ, the dead body of Christ, or so they thought that day, he was risen. And he greeted them. And they went on their way with a smile on their face, and they went on their way with excitement in their soul, because they went to the body of Christ. They went to church early in the morning. I cannot tell you how many times I have gone to the Lord, whether it's here at morning worship or morning devotions in my study or my morning walk early, early to watch the break of day with Bible in hand in Jacksonville or whatever it might be. I can't tell you how many times I've done something when I didn't feel like it. When I thought, oh man, I'm dead, or they're dead, or we're dead, or it's dead. But in doing it, I discovered something. He's risen. And he shows up. And I'm surprised. And I'm blessed. And ecstasy fills me. It amazes me how many times over these 40 plus years of walking with the Lord that he has met me just because I chose simply to not go to the back of the pack and cruise and hang out, but to press in and to step up. And when I have gone to the back of the pack, thinking I need a rest, I need a break, I have found that that is where the enemy rips and attacks and roars and destroys. The safest place to be, even if you think, well, this is dead, or they're dead, or we're dead, hey, be around the body. Come to church early in the morning. Man, be a part of whatever it means to you to be front and center, and you will see, I guarantee, that Jesus is risen. And you leave with hope in your heart and a smile on your face, because that's what he does. He meets us. He's risen. He's living. Guarantee. One more thing before I'm done. Hey, it's a battle out there. It's a jungle out there. It's true. But you know what? The last verse in our text gives a hope for me and a hope for you. Remember Amalek, what he does. He attacks the back, those that are weary and feeble and have gone to the back of the pack. They get eaten up. They get pulled down. They get wiped out. Remember that. Don't forget it. But also, Moses goes on to say, remember this. There's coming a day when you're in the land of promise, when the name of Amalek and the memory of Amalek will be blotted out. Man, I'm glad about that. There's going to come a day not too far away when we're in the promised land of heaven, our ultimate destiny. Isaiah chapter 14 says that we're going to look on him, Satan. Isaiah 14 describes Lucifer and how he fell when pride filled his heart. And then it says we are going to look on him. We're going to look on him narrowly, it says in Isaiah 14. That means with furrowed brow. Huh? We're going to say, is this the one, Isaiah 14 says, is this the one that kept people captive, that shook the kingdoms, that brought destruction? Huh? This is the one? We were tricked by him. We were scared of him. We were held captive because of him. We're going to say, this is the one? This is Satan? And we're going to see that that lion Satan pales in comparison to the lion of the tribe of Judah, our king, Jesus Christ, who will then say, depart from me, to Satan and to his angels, Satan's angels or demons. Jesus said, the Lord himself will cause Satan to be cast into outer darkness, into the lake of fire, where he will be done away with permanently. Oh, happy day that's going to be. When we look narrowly and say, huh, this is the one that we were taken down by? Oh, my. And then we'll hear him say to Satan and to his demons that day, depart into everlasting fire, outer darkness, which Jesus said was created for you, Satan, and for your demons. And they will be blotted out of our memory. No more enemy, no more battle, no more jungle. Hey, it's going to be wonderful on that day, not too far away. The memory of Amalek will be blotted out. Remember that. Don't forget this, our text says. In the meantime, be wise, be sober, be vigilant, because there is a roaring lion. He's out there seeking whom he may devour. And who does he devour? He devours the man, the woman, the family, the person, whether he's 50 or 20, who goes to the back of the pack for whatever reasons. I'm weary, or my kids are feeble. Listen, I've been pastoring here for 23 years. It's interesting to me, because now I've been in one place for long enough to see the unfolding of stories. It's a real amazing thing. There were people that said years and years ago, well, you know, I know that we should be front and center and be at church, but you know, our kids are little, and we don't want to put them in the nursery because they'll catch a cold in there. But as soon as our kids get a little bit bigger, we're going to be front and center. We're going to be engaged, involved. We're going to be in fellowship. Just as soon as our kids get a little older. I've watched that scenario. As I watched people go to the back of the pack. But you know what I found? The people that make excuses then because their kids are little, when their kids are in high school, they say, well, you know, I know that our kids should be in church and we should be engaged, but quite frankly, you know, the high school group is cliquey, or my kids have lots of homework or whatever it might be, so it doesn't really work out now. Or in junior high, you know, I know our kids should be, but you know, Seth is the leader, so you know, there's always excuses. There's always excuses, and it never stops. You see, people think, well, sometimes, some way, it's going to get better someday. It doesn't. It's a jungle. It's a battle. It always is. It always will be until we're in heaven. So be wise and say, you know what? I'm not going to float to the back of the pack. My kids, all five, were in nursery after the first week of their birth. And they're all doing wonderful. They're blessed. My son's a great preacher in St. Louis. My daughter's married to our junior high guy and led worship today. My other daughter's in heaven. My two teenagers are on fire for Jesus. My kids haven't backslid. They haven't walked away. Because, you see, we expect them to be front and center, not in the back of the pack, slouching down or not showing up. It's not an option. Because I know that in the back of the pack is where kids get attacked. At the back of the pack is where 50-year-olds fall into immorality. At the back of the pack is where 30-year-olds who say, I'm just so feeble, what do I have to offer, begin to warm themselves by the enemy's fire. I know it, it's true, and God says, don't forget this. The key in this war that we're in until that day when we're in heaven is to be front and center, fully engaged in your devotional life, in your personal walk, in your service for the King. This isn't time to sit on the beach and kick back. You'll get wiped out and taken down. Understand the scriptures. Moses says, remember this and don't forget it. Amalek attacks the back of the pack. Front and center, precious people, it's the safest place to be. May God give you and me wisdom and a memory. Let's not forget what the Lord says through Moses to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know that today, it's funny, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. And you're saying, boy, I'm glad I came this week. You're here. Front and center, where you're supposed to be. not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, the Bible says. I know you're doing good, and I want to see you stay healthy. I really do. I want to see you do well when you're 40 and 50 and 60, and should the Lord tarry, 80 or 90. And the way to stay healthy is to stay front and center. It's dangerous out there. It's dangerous at the back of the pack. Where the blessing is and the protection will always be is front and center. That is walking with the Lord personally, intimately, daily, front and center. It's the best place to be. Hey, God is going to keep you as long as you're willing to be kept. That's the deal. And one day, we're going to be in heaven. And I'm so looking forward to that. Everybody safe at last. Tears wiped away. And the memory of the devil blotted out and recalled no more. That's going to be a great day. Hang in there. Stay up front, engaged, front and center in your walk with your Savior. It's important because the attack always comes at the back. God help you. God help me to walk wisely in these interesting days in which we're living. In Jesus' name.